HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to Mint. I am Nasreen Sultana. You are listening to All Things Markets, where I speak to experts analyzing the big trends moving the stock markets. While fresh slippage has spiked across banks, sluggish disbursement have further resulted in muted trends in loan growth, particularly in retail, showed an analysis of June quarter results. Although deposit growth remains healthy, NII growth has been subdued. Banks are carrying additional provision buffers post June quarter. Adding to that, two big ticket lendings, Future Group and Vodafone Idea, are threatening to put the banking ecosystem in a jeopardy. So now, what is the outlook for banks and financial services companies going ahead? To understand that, I'm in conversation with Avnish Shukeja, analyst at BNP Paribas. Hi Avnish, welcome to the show.
Hi Nasreen, thanks for having me on the show and a very good morning to all your audience.
So Avnish, first up, let's address the big question. What is your key takeaway after the first quarter earnings of FY22? I'm talking about from the financial and the NBFC side.
Yes. So with respect to 1Q earnings, most of us, or rather most participants, expected numbers to be impacted with respect to, you know, asset quality, growth, or even to an extent of cost to income. That's primarily on account of what we all saw in the June quarter, which is with respect to second wave, partial lockdowns, and even the banks and NBFC employees getting impacted. So collection was not really possible. But if you look at the numbers, so they have disappointed. Having said that, it's not as bad as you know what the street expected. So from a profit perspective, on a YOY basis, you're still seeing some growth. On a net interest income perspective, in our coverage universe, banks have actually reported 11% growth on a YOY basis. Credit cost, which was a major concern for banks, which is PSU banks and private banks, is actually flat on a QOQ basis. So that's a positive surprise. And having said that, the commentary by the most bank managements has been rather bullish. So most of the bank managements have been indicating that there is a strong recovery that is coming through in June, July, and August. So it's actually sustaining. Your collections are back to 95% plus. Your loan growth is back. Demand is back. So when you put all of this in context, so bad numbers is something which was expected. The commentary, the pickup is what was not factored in. So overall, I would say just purely from a 1Q perspective, it was actually better than expected. Numbers held up. And the commentary was, better than expected. So from an outlook perspective, outlook on financials remains pretty strong after the 1Q earnings.
Okay. So even after Murat was lifted, you don't think that it has hit the asset quality of banks. But if I have to kind of ask you, what between private and PSU banks, do you see any stark difference as far as asset quality goes?
So broad trends are similar with regards to private banks and public sector banks. Both are talking about, public sector banks are talking about collection efficiencies in early 90s to mid 90s, whereas private banks are talking about high 90s. So that's probably a marginal difference. But if you look at NIM expansion, to look at PPOP growth, which is the operating profits, or you look at how the deposit franchise has done, the trends are pretty much similar for both private and public sector bank. Even from a balance sheet perspective, if you look at the coverage ratios for public sector banks, it's actually similar to what private banks have. The only difference right now between public and private banks is your excess provisions, which private banks had made last year. So on a private bank's balance sheet, about 50 to 150 to 200 basis points of excess provisions are there, which should help in case asset quality worsens from here on. And in case of public sector banks, that number would be around 30 to 80 basis points.
Okay, so more cushion and comfort and headroom if ever, if there is more shock or further shock in the economy.
That's correct.
So, you know, in all the banking result, what is actually leading or driving the revenue growth? Is it the retail banking segment or is it the corporate?
So it's actually varies from bank to bank. It's so in 1Q, I would say for a few private banks, it was mostly the corporate segment. Then in case of public sector banks, we actually saw retail also, you know, doing well. I think it's a combination of both. But on a broader level, what actually has driven the earnings is your NIM expansion, which was a pleasant surprise. This is primarily because of lower cost of funds. So that is one thing which has actually led the NII stream.
Okay. Now, if we just you know, turn our focus to the microfinance lending, do you see that segment in trouble, considering that the lower segment of the economy class had suffered due to the second COVID wave, and especially in the rural area, the demand for loan was low, and there were pain points in the rural area. So, what about the MFI segment?
I actually think MFI segment has struggled with respect to, you know, all the issues that the sector was witnessing for the last 1 or 2 years with respect to inability to collect money from the borrowers, or you know, even from a balance sheet perspective, and even so other segments you could actually see growth coming back. But given that MFI was still recovering, or still the focus was asset quality, you actually did not see any major growth uptick in that segment. In our checks that we highlighted earlier this month, we believe probably the sector will take 3 more months for the growth to come back. So it's definitely lagging the other sectors. But incrementally, the data points that you would probably hear with MFI should be positive.
Okay, so there are also a bit of concern about a third wave hitting India. And as we speak, some of the Asian countries are already suffering. There are already, you know, lockdowns in many parts of Asian region. Now, if that is to happen in India now, how much are the banks or the financial service industry itself is prepared to kind of face a third wave, both in terms of asset quality and also in lending?
Right. So one common trend that we are seeing with every successive wave across the globe, the magnitude of impact is actually less. So I actually think it will not be any different for India. Even if the third wave comes, you would actually see governments being proactive with respect to lockdowns. It's not going to be a complete lockdown. It's going to be a partial lockdown. And if that is the case, your collection efforts will not be hampered as significantly as we saw, say, last year during April, May, June, versus even what we saw this year in the May period. So effectively, we actually came out with a note just before the second wave as to what the impact would be. And in terms of quantifying the impact, we assessed that because of loss of growth, you could actually see for profits being impacted by about 6 to 10% earlier this year. That was the impact for second wave. And actually, we believe that's actually come through. Asset quality, minimal impact because of the excess provisions that banks already have on their balance sheet. We would actually see them use that provision. If the third wave comes through, the impact should be less than 6%, which is what we forecasted for the second wave. So for third wave, the magnitude should be lower than that. And at best, it should be 6% or less.
Okay. All right. But as we are assessing the second wave's impact in the industry, there are two big issues that have come up. One is the Vodafone default or the impending issue and the future retail. Now, these are two big issues, and we have no idea how long will it take to kind of make an assessment of the debt situation and find a resolution. But at this moment, do you think that these are two big cases may kind of end up shaking up the banking industry or the financial services industry as of now?
Right. Actually, if you look at the financial sector in India right now, the biggest, positive that has happened to the financial sector is the current governor. So if you look at his entire tenure for last 1.5 years or slightly more, he has focused on just ensuring there is no systemic risk to the sector. So in all the several measures that RBI has introduced in last, say, 18 months or since March 2020, the focus has been ensuring there's excess, there is sufficient liquidity, there is no systemic risk which can hamper the growth recovery in demand or the growth activity. And also at the same time, there is enough focus on ease of transaction. Now, given that these three or four areas, which is systemic risk, liquidity, growth, and ease of transaction, has been the key focus area for RBI. I do believe if the two corporates that you mentioned actually default, you could actually see a few measures from RBI, which will ensure that the pain is spread over, say, at least 12 to 24 months. And thus the impact on, say, bottom line or the balance sheet of respective banks or NBFCs should be fairly limited.
Okay, we'll have to wait and watch how does these two cases pan out. But Avnish, before I let you go, one last question is what do you think about RBI's monetary policy review that was last week? And of course, I think there are a few signals that probably there could be an interest rate tinkering, and most economists are also penciling in an interest rate hike by the end of FY22 or maybe next fiscal itself. So we've become very comfortable. Banks have become very comfortable with the low interest rates as far as their credit growth goes. So what do you think, if at all, there is an perspective and from the borrowers?
So if you look at RBI, even the commentary by the governor, the focus has been in ensuring that the growth comes back in the system, and that growth remains sustainable for at least a couple of quarters. With respect to, say, inflation, which is probably going to be the key trigger why RBI would probably think of increasing interest rate. Inflation is still in that band, RBI tolerant band of 4 to 6%. I actually do not think there would be a significant tinkering of interest rates or increase in interest rates till you see the demand coming back. And if actually demand comes back, historically, if you look at the past cycles of GDP pickup and then interest rate increases. Your growth does not really get impacted. Banks' balance sheet does not really get impacted if you're seeing enough demand uptick in the system. So the view is RBI will probably wait. I don't think they're going to do anything anytime soon. But they will act only if they are confident that demand has come back for good. And if that is the case, then the impact on banks or overall economy because of an interest rate hike should be fairly limited.
Okay, Avnish, on that note, thanks a lot for speaking to us and sharing your insight. And also thanks a lot for giving your time. We wish you good health. Thank you.
Thanks, Avni.
For feedback, you can write to me at nasreen.s@lifemint.com. Or you can reach out to me on Twitter at Nasreen Story. You can also reach out to us at HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And to listen to more podcasts like this, you need to log on to www.htsmartcast.com.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.